Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What if everyone was turning their head to look at you with a brand new Flowmaster exhaust system from Exhaust Pro in Macomb on Georgia Avenue? Cruise in style with Exhaust Pro of Macomb on Georgia Avenue.
It's a great time to live in Mississippi, and we're talking about it. Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. Appreciate you joining us. And as we continue this incredible focus on all the people who are working in the trenches to make Mississippi such a great place to live, work, and play. But today is Friday. It's my day. We start the day with my friend Jeff Duncan from NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. And we're going to go straight over to Jeff. And first of all, just say good morning. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good, Ricky. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Listen, I appreciate you bearing with us last week. I got a couple of notes from people that said, where was Jeff? You know, we didn't have a Jeff Duncan day. What happened is I got something in my eye, and I was working out in the yard and got something in my eye. It got out, so, you know, I thought no big deal. And several days later, a scratchiness in my eye started to make my eye actually hurt.
Yeah.
And it was like a delayed reaction. But what happened, I got a little infection. And a doctor gave me some really good eye drops and started using those, and everything is better. But it was one of the, when you got a little something going on with your eye, it's not just the irritation, but it's the pain. It's kind of hard to do anything, to be honest with you. So I had to go tend to it last Friday morning, and it got the shows out of sequence. So I appreciate the listeners bearing with us. I just wanted you to know about it. Jeff, man, you've if anybody can go check JeffDuncanNOLA.com and watch the incredible amount of buzz around Jeff related to Michael Thomas and the columns and other stories that Jeff has published about Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas personally actually going after Jeff, was something to behold, my friend. You've been kind of in the news for a couple of weeks. What's it like? You're used to this, aren't you?
Yeah, it kind of comes with the territory, Ricky, when you're a columnist. You have to have thick skin, and you've got to understand that sometimes things you write are not going to be popular. And look, I understand it from Mike Thomas's point of view. I mean, Mike Thomas has been in New Orleans for 8 years. It's a very emotional thing to be, let go the way he has and not going to be a part of this team going forward. So I understand why he's disappointed and upset. It's just unfortunate that his career ended in the way it has. That's the column I wrote, was about the unfortunate ending. I mean, it's disappointing. And this is a guy that was on a Hall of Fame trajectory in his career. He caught more passes in the first 4 years of his career than anybody in the history of the NFL. That's amazing. And then injuries and a bunch of other things that just sort of derailed his career. And then it just got really disappointing this year with some of the, off the field incidents that kind of led to the Saints deciding to move on. And, so it's an unfortunate ending to what should have been, a very triumphant chapter for Mike Thomas. And look, he's going to eventually be in the Saints Hall of Fame. I'm on the committee. I'll vote for him. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm sure when he comes back here, it'll be an emotional homecoming. And I'm really interested to see what happens to him in his career, where he lands, what kind of market he has, because I do think he can still be a valuable role player for in the right system with the right quarterback.
Yeah, Sean Payton will pick him up. That's what.
Yeah, that's what happens every time, right? Everybody else goes to Denver, right? Yeah, it'll be interesting because he's not the same player he was. Clearly, he's had so many injuries. He's 31 years old, but speed has never been Mike Thomas's game. I mean, he's a physical possession receiver, and he catches everything in sight. So he's got to get with the right team where he can play that role, somebody that needs that role. And I think someone will reach out to him and sign him, but it'll be interesting to see at what level at this stage of his career because of the injuries that have just piled up on him.
Yeah, I know that. What was important about the column you wrote was no big surprises there now that we know how it's all playing out. But you had sources and you saw that he was soon to be cut, and he just, you broke it. And I mean, it's not like it hadn't been talked about in the media, and you did a review about it. Incidentally, I will point out, by the way, that if anyone wants to read I think it's a really well-written piece that actually appeared today in the newsletter for NOLA.com Saints. I don't know who wrote it. I forgot to note the author. Mm-hmm. But it's a really nice, succinct, well-written piece about his career and where yes. it ends. Did you write that?
No, that was Luke Johnson did a terrific job.
It was really well-written. I like the. I really Luke's got a good style about him when he writes.
Agreed.
And I thought it was just – I thought it was very nicely written. And just, it's hard to take a big, long career and concisely pack it into a story. And I just thought he did a really nice job of that. So people can go look at that. They can also look at Jeff's column at NOLA.com as well. But Jeff, you know, you made the point before we started the show just a minute ago. I see it in the efforts that I'm involved with on my Super Talk Outdoor show where someone actually called me a hot potato. Another one called me an agitator. I think that's true in a way because I kind of feel like I'm the long voice talking about a lot of these things because there hasn't been a media focus on these things. But if there had been a media focus on these things, I would have just been another voice in the chorus. That's kind of what you're facing in New Orleans. That's why you stick out a little bit because you don't have another. You know, Saints columnists and reporters calling it really the way they see it for whatever reason, and you do. So you kind of stick out a little bit, and you're kind of used to that too, aren't you?
Yeah, look, I think the goal in our job is to just get to the truth. I mean, you seek the truth and as close facsimile as you can get to the truth. And sometimes, you know, the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is not what people want to hear, especially in sports. I mean, I always ask people, it's funny, Ricky, when I'll be out socially and people will ask me like, you know, what's so-and-so like, you know, what this player, what's he really like? Or what's it like covering the team? I always ask them, I said, well, you want to know the truth or you want to know, you know, the fantasy world? I mean, a lot of people go to sports to get away from, you know, it's an escape for people. So they don't really want to know exactly what somebody's really like. I mean, it's the celebrity obsessed culture that we live in. People live vicariously through celebrities and sports figures that become celebrities. So, you know, sometimes people like it that way. That's their escape. So I get that. But there, you know, my job is to tell the truth, is to basically lay out. And so Mike Thomas's career ended in a disappointing fashion. I mean, there's a reason, Ricky, the Saints moved on. I think people need to understand it's not Jeff Duncan that's causing Mike Thomas to be released and moved on. The New Orleans Saints elected to move on from him, and there's a reason they're doing that. And it's not all positive. It's not all great. There's a lot of people out there that have gotten tired of Mike Thomas's act. And high-level people that run the organization, there's a reason this moved on. So, you know, reporting that, you know, you get to shoot the messenger sometimes, and that's just comes with the territory.
Yeah, it's interesting. The outdoors community is similar to what you just said in that they go into the outdoors to get away. They go into the outdoors to get a breath of fresh air, and it's sometimes it's hard to take a minute and study what goes on behind the scenes as it relates to outdoors policy, hunting and fishing policies. And they just don't want to hear all that stuff. They really just want to go out and do a good turkey hunt and live in a prayer. Yep. Some people talk about it, or go catch a fish, or, you know, go sit on a deer stand somewhere. So sometimes it's tough. It's in that way, it's very relatable. You know, the releasing of Michael Thomas, they'll take a little bit of a hit initially, but the reality is they've done a pretty good job. And you said this from the beginning, you don't get into the numbers of salary cap and all this junk because, I mean, we can worry about it and talk about it all day long, but they just gonna figure it out and they're gonna get where they need to be. So here we are now. They're already, you know, millions under the cap already, and probably other moves to make, and maybe some trades still going to happen. But you know, you're not surprised they're at this moment, are you?
No, I mean, they do it every year. You can make those numbers work the way you want. Now, there are ramifications to it, though. I mean, you know, there's a reason they're not big spenders in the market right now. You know, I think they'd like to add a defensive end to bolster their pass rush, but they're not in the market for that. And the reason they're not in the market for that is they don't have the cap room. So there are ramifications to the way they do business, but they're in a bit of a transition I think with the roster, they're trying to get younger. Along with that, I think they're trying to get a little cheaper. When you pay a starting quarterback, elite money, the way they're paying Derek Carr, he's not at the very top of the league, but he's definitely in the top 15. You have to find ways to cut corners elsewhere. And I think that's what we're seeing go on right now with the Saints. And that's why teams like, for instance, the Houston Texans, they're an interesting team to follow right now. To me, they remind me of the 2006 Saints, when all of a sudden Sean Payton and Drew Brees came in here and they won immediately. Suddenly New Orleans, the perception changed, the culture changed, and players started to want to come here. It became a destination market. That's what's going on with Houston. Look how many players, elite players, have signed. Danielle Hunter, have gone down there. They want to play with that young quarterback and that dynamic young head coach. That's a place to be now. 2 years ago, nobody would have said that. And one of the reasons the Houston's able to go out and spend in free agency is they've got a rookie quarterback. So they're not paying him $40 million a year the way the Saints are paying Derek Carr and the way the Falcons now are paying Kirk Cousins. So, you can strike when you have a young rookie quarterback the way the Texans do right now. And that's something the Saints have never elected to do, Ricky. It's interesting. They've never really decided to go into the young quarterback market. They've always used veterans, and that comes with a little bit higher price tag.
It's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about Atlanta Falcons that picked up a cornerback, and he was pretty good in Minnesota. I want to get your thoughts about that. We'll see you on the other side with my friend Jeff Duncan.
Passion and love for Mississippi is why he's here. This is the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show. I'm my friend Jeff Duncan from NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, and we're talking about the Saints. And, Jeff, Cousins is a really good cornerback. And I know they couldn't come up with a deal for him in Minnesota. He lands in Atlanta. I think he hits a team that is going to be able to receive his leadership and his capabilities really well. It's just that Atlanta could be a scary team now, couldn't they?
Well, I think they vaulted Ricky to the top of the Vegas odds makers as favorites now to win the NFC South, because they were like a quarterback away. I think that most people would say that the Falcons have the best roster in the division, but it's a quarterback-driven league, and they just were having substandard quarterback play. And look, there's a lot of pressure on Terry Fontenot, the former Saints executive who's now running the team. Arthur Blank is, I think, 81 now. He's never won a Super Bowl. I think there's a lot of pressure there to get back into the Super Bowl mix, and they had to have a quarterback. So they made a bold move. And Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles tendon injury. That's a significant injury, but it's different now. I think people need to understand that, like, they have new procedures to correct Achilles tendon tears. That's always the old man's disease. Injury. Everybody tears their Achilles tendon. But they have a new procedure now. It's much more effective. And players you see coming back much quicker now from that. I believe Quan Alexander for the Saints came back a few years ago in less than 6 months. So it's not as, I think, as significant as it used to be because of the new medical procedure. So for Kirk Cousins, I think he should be fine for this season. And I think it makes the Falcons a very dangerous team with all the weapons they've got around the quarterback now and that young defense. And they've got Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator. A lot of life, I think a lot of energy and a lot of optimism in Atlanta.
You look at the number of free agents. So, I'm talking about big time names that are either in play or have already signed with different teams. The musical chairs seem to be at a feverish pitch this year. And then the solid teams like San Francisco and, you can name two or three at the top of the heap.
I don't think Dallas has done much,
Yeah, or just kind of laying low and sticking with what they've got. But it's a dynamic lead right now, isn't it?
Well, it's funny. The Saints have always kind of, if you look at their history with free agency, when they want somebody, they really target somebody, they go get them boldly. They'll make a bold move. That's what they did with Derek Carr last year. I remember back, you know, some of the listeners and viewers will remember Jairus Byrd. Now, that's a name of infamy because they they went out and paid him a lot of money, and he was very disappointing. But they got him right off the bat. So yeah. They will go target somebody and go aggressive. But for the most part, they kind of sit on the sidelines in the early days of free agency and let the market settle and then try and get to the second and third tier players, which are more affordable. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do this year. They don't have the cap space. We know that. I think their top priority has been restructuring, getting under the cap, and then trying to position themselves to re-sign some of their own guys. And they've lost some guys along the way, but they're mainly role players. You know, Zach Bond, Malcolm Roach, those guys, you know, they can live without. But they do have to build depth on this roster, and I think they'll start addressing that soon.
Yeah, so he had a nice long list of familiar names that were free agents, and you mentioned two that have left. But do you see anyone in that list that gives you big-time heartburn?
No, look, I think the offensive line, if Andres Pete lands a deal with someone else as a tackle, I don't think the Saints are going to pay him starting left tackle money. So I think that's the decision that everybody's waiting to see. What happens with Andres Pete? Because that will create a domino effect on their offensive line. Certainly makes a little more of a priority getting Trevor Penning back and confident and playing at a high level, and then maybe forces them to either address offensive line and free agency or the draft or both. And I think they probably will do both.
Interesting times because, you know, you talk about that offensive line. Just to remind people, we're bringing a new offensive coordinator. His scheme requires us to fix our running game. We have to win in the trenches now. So this conversation around the offensive line is no small conversation, is it, Jeff?
No, look, you hit a great point. I mean, Dennis Allen said that after the year, Ricky. They got to fix the running game. And that's how Dennis Allen wants to play football. And it makes sense. They got a good defense. You win with the running game, control the clock, lean on your defense, and they haven't been able to run the ball very well at all. So to me, that's Clint Kubiak's number one priority. It's probably the reason Dennis Allen hired him, because he has that running scheme, that scheme that Kubiak and, you know, his father ran all those years in Denver, is very successful running the ball. And they've got to get Alvin Kamara back on track. I mean, I think that's a big question mark. Is it the scheme, or is Alvin Kamara, you know, starting to show age and a lot of tread has come off that tire? And I think that's a question that we're going to find out this season. But I think it's a very big question mark right now, because if you look at the analytical numbers, I think we've talked about it on your program before, Alvin Kamara's numbers are way down. And it's not just the blocking up front. There's analytical numbers and measurements that take into account the blocking of the line, and he's down near the bottom of the league. So I think there's a significant question whether even they can run the ball at a high level with what they have right now.
Yes, it's, you know, scary. I mean, you look at all these different needs and questions. Let's put it that way. Question. They did pick up a linebacker.
Yes, what's your Mississippi guy. Mississippi guy, Willie Gay. Yeah, big time Mississippi player. Was a great high school player. Mississippi, played at Mississippi State. Got two Super Bowl rings. And yeah, I think it's a great low risk pickup. I mean, this is a guy that has been part of a winning culture. I don't think he's going to start. I think he gives them depth, but he replaces a guy like Zach Bond, who left to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's probably, I mean, is your assessment, he's a better player than Zach?
Yeah, I think he does some things better than Zach. I don't know if he's a better, like, pass rusher than Zach Bond, and I don't think he's a better special teams player than Zach Bond, but I think he's just a better pure linebacker. And I think what he gives them is now an insurance policy in case Pete Werner gets hurt, and Pete Werner's battled injuries throughout his career. So it's probably a good backup starter and quality player at a position that's growing more and more important in the NFL every year because of the way the game has evolved.
Anything else about the Saints? I want to just pick your brain real quick about the Pelicans. Anything else about the Saints today?
No, look, I think it'll be interesting to see where they go next in free agency. I do think that's going to be important to see. You know, actions speak louder than words, Ricky.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that's out there, and we've talked about before, is what happens eventually with Marshon Lattimore. I think that's, are they going to trade Marshon? Are they going to do it, you know, around the draft? Are they going to do it in free agency? I mean, I'm sorry, in training camp after June 1, when it's less of a cap hit? Or are they going to do it at all? But I do think it's a possibility. You know, they've got depth at cornerback right now. Alante Taylor's certainly a, more of an outside corner. He could start there if you move Lattimore, get some draft assets, and maybe, you know, get more picks in the top 100. Right now, they just have two picks in the top 100 of this draft. So I think that's something that's also out there. I don't think they want to move him just to move him. They want a good offer in return, but I do think it's a possibility.
And they, they could get something for him. And yes. Of course, they're not going to do it if they don't, right?
No, and they won't. And so I don't think they're out there actively shopping him, but I do think he's available, put it that
way.
And they've got, you know, when Paulson Adebo came on last year, I think Alante Taylor has got all kinds of potential. And I think it was interesting that they are going to bring in Avante Maddox on a free agent bid. Avante Maddox is a slot corner. That's what he plays. So that tells you something, Ricky. Why are they bringing in a slot corner if they've got Alante Taylor already playing there? Maybe they're thinking of moving him outside. See what I'm saying? Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Hey, we got less than a minute to go. Pelicans, what you think? They going to make a run?
Yeah, they're playing the best basketball. I know they got beat by the Cavs pretty handily the other night, but they're playing much more consistently right now, and Zion Williamson has taken his game to another level, which is what we've all been waiting on. And credit to the Pelicans for being patient with him as he matured. He needed to. And I think we're starting to finally see him realize that potential. And I think they're squarely now in the top six, which is what they've been wanting to be. There are not very many games left. I think about 15 left. And I think as long as they finish in the top six, they can avoid the teams they don't want to play are like the Lakers and the Warriors. They don't match up very well with some of those teams. And I think they will avoid that. Maybe get a playoff series victory, which is something that's eluded this franchise for years.
They're putting it all together, and Zion's staying healthy, and they've got their role players playing their roles. They're coming together as a team. When they are on their game, they are actually really fun to watch, man.
Yes. The key to them is when Trey Murphy shoots well. When he shoots well from outside, it opens everything else up, and they're very difficult to beat and very difficult to guard offensively. And when he struggles, you know, they become vulnerable. That's really the key to their team, I think.
Well, you're the man. I appreciate you joining us. You know, next week we gotta get into, you know, what's the latest and, you know, what's your view on where the collegiate football situation is headed. You heard recently, you know, Saban obviously is not a happy camper. The whole situation with NIL has just changed everything. But I want to get your thoughts about that. I hope you have a great weekend, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. Speaking on that, I'll be moderating a panel at the New Orleans Book Festival this weekend on that exact subject with Oliver Luck, talking about NIL and the changing college landscape. So if you're in New Orleans, come out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week for sure. Hey, listen, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Everybody, we'll see you after this break. I have a very special guest going to be joining me. We'll see you after this.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.